accident, and is in critical condition, I think, and needs a lot of prayer. Who you want to lift up a name? Anybody? You want to lift up somebody for prayer? Huh? Yes. Yes. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Amen. Okay. All right. Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yes. Okay. All right. Amen. Amen. Brother Paul. Yes. Yeah. Amen. Amen. May we have a quick recovery here. Yes. Oh. Okay. Amen. Okay. All right. Let's pray. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just lift up each one that has been named before you here today, and we're asking for your holy, mighty intervention. Lord God, we pray that you heal the sick as we lift them up before you, Lord God. Lord, those that are broken in body, we want to lift them up before you right now. We just want to pray for them. And Lord, those that, Father God, Lord, need the intervention of the Lord, that, Father, even their very lives are in danger. Lord, we ask you to spare them. We ask you to bring healing. We ask you to bring a deliverance, Father God. And Lord, those that have various conditions, Lord God, Lord, those that are facing, Lord, surgeries, Lord God, Lord, those that are battling various things, Lord, right now, Father God, Lord, in the mighty holy name of Jesus, we ask that, Lord, you give them the victory. Lord, we want to thank you for it. We want to thank you for your healing touch. We want to thank you for your intervention. We thank you for your outstretched arm. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody say amen. 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 Praise the name of the Lord. All right. Glory to God. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. This message is called The Holy People of God. This is a continuation. It has a different title than last Sunday, which was the Step Aside. And we're going to use the same text right here. We're going to be on this series here for a little bit, I think, maybe, about the holiness of the Lord. And it's not only about the holiness of the Lord, it's about our holiness and about the call of God to the people of the Lord, that we be a holy people and all the wonderful blessings. And this is one of the things that, you know, I don't think we hear much of. For a matter of fact, we don't even hear much about this subject anymore, but it is vital, it is central. God is holy. If we want to talk about God is love, we cannot leave out that God is also holy. And it's very important that we understand that. Not only that, but we know that we, as the people of God, have been called into the holiness of the Lord. And that holiness has life to it. You know, it's not a dead order. It's not a regiment of rules and regulations. A lot of people think of holiness, you know. Boy, that sounds like boot camp or something. Or, you know, misery here. But nothing could be further from the truth. Matter of fact, I think that evil one has sought very hard to muddy the water when it comes to holiness so that it would scare us away from the holiness of the Lord. I want to encourage you to embrace it in the Lord, and that you let the Lord make you holy. You know, you get saved, and you know, and then the pathway of the Lord is that we become that holy possession of the Lord God Almighty. You know, so I want you to know that this is the will of the Lord. It's the will of the Lord. There's a lot of joy in a holy life before the Lord. Because ultimately what it brings into your life and my life more than anything else is it brings a sweet communion, sweet fellowship and intimacy in the Lord our God. You know, and anything apart from that, really, it doesn't have a lot to do with holiness. Holiness has been perverted in so many ways. So I pray you'll have an open heart here. I'm going to begin back up here, and this is in Exodus. This is in chapter 3, and I'm going to begin here with verse 1. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. In verse 2, it says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him And many times that Jesus is referred to the angel of the Lord. We know that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God, that he was in the beginning with God the Father. He came and was born in the likeness of a sinful man so that he could become a sacrifice for our sins. You know, but he was with God the Father from the very beginning, and he has many appearances in the Old Testament. Many appearances in the Old Testament. I believe that this might be one of them, because we see a lot of things that are spoken here that are according to him in his way. And there's verse 2 again, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire. And I want you to see that, in a blazing fire from the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Yet the bush was not consumed. And the reason for that is because it wasn't just a natural fire. This was the fire of Almighty God. This was a spiritual fire. And I want to say that this is one of the things that comes with the holiness of the Lord, is the fire of Almighty God. If there's anything that we need in these last days as we are here, is that we need that fire of Almighty God. It keeps you alive unto the Lord. Not only does it keep you alive, it keeps you, it brings clarity, and it brings focus into your life, that you not lose your way along the way. You know how many Christians lose the way along the way? And they had a good beginning. They had a good beginning, and then things begin to wash out. As we look to endure until the end, until the coming of the Lord, until we're gathered with him. You know, this is an overcoming power that comes into the life of the believer. This is a clarity that comes into perspective, and it comes through the holiness of the Lord. You know, we begin to see distinctions in our lives. We have a discerning spirit, and it's not because we're just such wonderful discerning people. I'm so smart, you know, that I see these things. No, this is in the power of Almighty God. This comes through a holy life. It comes through holy living before the Lord. It comes through the character and the true nature of the holiness of Almighty God. That fire of Almighty God becomes a consuming force upon the heart and the life of the believer. Well, it goes on in verse 3, and it says, so Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight why the bush is not burned up. And I'm not going to talk long on it, but I just want you to understand these certain concepts. There's a spiritual picture going on here, you know, and that is, not only does that fire of God come, but it comes to those that are willing to turn aside. And, you know, do you think about Moses, and what it said here is he was pasturing the flock of Jethro. he had a life, you know. He had found a life here. God had blessed him in so many ways, going into a foreign land, and God opened up doors. You know, he found him a wife and a family, and, you know, he found his father-in-law. His father-in-law, with the blessing of the Lord, Moses becomes a pretty wealthy guy. There was a lot of wonderful and good things, a lot of blessings that Moses could have talked about. But here was where a real difference was made in his life, to where he was able to lay all of that down. Even at that moment right there, man, I don't have time to stop here and look at that burning bush. You know, my goodness, you know, I got responsibilities here, you know, and I got things to do, you know, and I got to get things done. And there's a plan today, and there's an agenda, you know, but he had a heart after God, you know, and he turned aside. You know, when you and I turn aside, you know, and say, Lord, here I am, you know, we begin to let the Holy Spirit, because that's how holiness really comes into the life of the believer, comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we kind of like separate holiness from the Holy Spirit, but that's pretty hard to do, don't you think? Because that describes the very character and the very nature of the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of people that want the blessings and provisions and the attributes that come from the Holy Spirit, but then they really don't want to be holy. You're going to have a hard time. you know, you're just going to really have a hard time, you know, and, you know, sit back and wonder, well, why aren't those things coming? Or, you know, why don't I have that? And why aren't we seeing this? And why aren't we seeing that? Because the root and the foundation of the power of the Holy Spirit comes through the holy character that the Spirit brings. It's very important for us to understand that. Step aside, turn aside, you know, and say, here I am, O Lord God. And the Lord begins to respond to us in that. We allow the Lord to bring us into the holiness of the Lord. We allow the Lord to do that. And I'll tell you, it's a big part of our salvation. We need to clearly understand as we draw near and want that intimate communion, we want to have an intimacy with the Lord. You know, and I want to see the Lord and know the Lord. The way that the Lord will begin to do that is bring that transforming power of holiness into my life. So we understand that this becomes the way of the Lord. Then verse 4 says, and when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him. Notice that. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. And the next thing we see in verse 5, it says, then he said, do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. You know, this is the first place that God has ever revealed himself as being holy. This is the first place in the Bible the word holy is used. That's very interesting. A lot of wonderful things there. And that is that it came, that vision, the coming into the midst of the presence of God, that holy fire, that turning aside, all came manifested there at that particular point and place and time. Now, there's no such thing as holiness apart from the manifestation of him, the manifestation of his presence. This is how true holiness is accomplished in the life of the believer. There's a transforming power that comes through his presence. And there's wonderful and great attributes. It's not rules. It's not regulations. Although you will change your behavior, although you'll change your ways, although your whole perspective will be changed, but it'll be a change that you desire. It'll be a change that you want, because in the midst of it, you're finding him like never before. And there's nothing like finding him. There's just nothing. You know, so what the attributes that this fire, you know, is that it brings, and it's important to understand it. You'll understand what I mean. A spiritual moxie, you know, that comes into the heart and the life of the believer. A courage, a courageousness of heart, determination and fortitude. These are all attributes of this fire of Almighty God that comes upon the believer. I would say that three other major attributes of the fire of Almighty God is, number one is love, the love of God, you know, and number two would be a jealous heart after God, and number three would be a heart after God, like David. You know, David was a man after God's own heart. You know, this is what the Holy Spirit imparts. This is what holiness brings into the life of the believer. You know, what you find out of that is the overcoming power of Almighty God comes into your life, the strength of the Holy Spirit to overcome. That's what we've been called to, is to be overcomers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is what the Lord brings. This is true victory. This is true victory. There's so many Christians live a defeated Christian life. So many Christians don't really know how to go forward in the Lord. They don't know about what forward. Well, forward is just learning more. No, it's not. It's becoming more. It's becoming more. It's that way of the holiness of God where he imparts himself. He imparts himself through his presence, and his holiness of the Lord comes into the life of the believer. It's the saving grace of Almighty God. It's the saving grace of Almighty God. Well, let's look on from there. Let's look on from there. And let's look at another place. So this holy ground, and you know, the fire of Almighty God, That is the character and the nature of the holiness of the Lord, and that it comes through the great and wonderful presence of the Lord. Let's come on down in verse 13 and look a little bit. In verse 13, he's now because of him experiencing the Lord in the way that he did, God is ready to anoint him for the calling and for the mission that God had always planned for Moses. And we know the story of Moses, and I'm not going to go back over that again. But now, you know, things have changed and happened. And it is at this pinnacle point, this place, this pinnacle point, after this experience, after this place, Moses is now being sent. That's so telling. That is just so telling. You know, David Wilkerson used to tell a story, you know, and that story that he would used to tell, he'd say that, talking about New York and about New York City, he'd say, you know, I'd invite various ones to come up to minister up in New York, and, you know, instead of changing the city changed them. And because of that lack of that holy character and that all those provisions of the wonderful graces of God that keeps you strong, it keeps you from wickedness and evil and sin and compromise. Gives you that, again, I'll use that word, that spiritual moxie to turn away. You know, it's that strength of God, that jealous heart after the Lord. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to be like that. It's jealous for the Lord. Versus that ho-hum spirit that says, you know, que sera, sera. You know, let live and let live. You know, hey, everybody just do their own thing, you know. You know, that attitude, that mindset of the world, and that the spirit of the world that comes into the church, you know, and how it just creates a sleepiness over the church while the enemy runs roughshod over not only the church, but the world, because the church is not able to stand where God wants them to stand and be the victorious warrior that he's called them to be. Because without the holiness of God, you just don't have any power. You just don't have any real power. And now look on and look at this. In verse 13, he goes on, he sends him. He says, and then Moses said to God, behold, I'm going to the sons of Israel, and I shall say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Verse 14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Now, look at this. This is interesting. Verse 15, and God furthermore said to Moses, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. Now, look at this part. This is my name forever. This is my memorial name. Look here. To all generations. And, you know, you don't have people to say, well, you know, well, what does that mean? You know, the great I am. It is, well, I am, and then you can add whatever you want to it. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong or anything, but I want you to see here something else that's said. Well, you turn over here into Exodus chapter 6, because then here it's explained a little bit more about what it means to be I am, you know, and this is his memorial name. Did you hear that? What did he say? He said to all generations, didn't he? Right? That might include you and me, right? You know, I am. You know, tell him that I am sent you. You know, look at verse 2. This is in Exodus 6. Verse 2 says, God spoke further to Moses, and he said to him, I am the Lord. Verse 3 says, and I appeared to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob as God Almighty. But by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. Wow. Isn't that something? They knew him as God Almighty, El Shaddai, right? God Almighty. You know, and that, you know, he was God Almighty. He was mighty for them. He was mighty in their life. But now God is taking a greater stand right here. You know, because this is the word Lord. It's capital L-O-R-D, you know, and it's Yahweh. You know, I am the Lord. You know, I am all. And it became so holy, the name Yahweh, that they replaced it when they spoke in a reference to God and the Lord as Adonai. You know, they used the word Adonai. You know, now you know that word here is the holiness of the Lord, that he is Lord over all, and all shall bow to me. Amen. Jesus is coming again.
Yes, he is.
Do you know he's bringing the world to its knees? Because the world is, and when I say the world, I'm not talking about the grass and the trees, is in rebellion against this Lord of all. The things that are happening around us in the day and the hour that we live in are very things that God is allowing to take place. Many of them are even being perpetrated by the hand of Almighty God, because God is bringing man, the world, to its knees, because the world is in rebellion against God. We need to understand this. And then when we talk about the last days, we talk about the coming of the Lord and the things that are unfolded, the devil is not in control. The Lord God Almighty is in control. I don't have to feel a bit intimidated. I may feel it, the things going on around about me and the such, but he is the Lord, and he's going to show his lordship. Now, you can see as we go on that, you know, see that, you know, he's revealed himself as Lord, and we see the fullness of that Lord in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. It truly made manifest. And look on in another place right here, and this is in Exodus 15. I want you to go over there for a minute. No, Yahweh, Lord God, he is the Lord of all. Here is another place that's mentioned about that holy or holiness. This is in Exodus chapter 15. What we find right here, this is after the victory over Pharaoh and over the Egyptian army at the Red Sea. Here was this defenseless people, you know, that were slaves. They were defenseless people that were slaves, and God set them free. He brought Pharaoh down to his knees to such a way that Pharaoh's attitude changed completely and said, "Will you all please leave?"
Yeah. Come on.
Oh, by the way, here, let me give you some silver. Let me give you some gold. Just please go. Will you just go? You can have anything you want. Here it is, right here. And God plundered the greatest civilization of the world. Because he's Lord. And for the people that would be holy unto him as his possession. He has not changed. He's still the Lord over all. Now, this is when this is spoken. At that point, this is called the Song of Moses, right here, that they celebrated the victory of the Lord. And then here, you've got here in verse 11 of this song, in Exodus 15, 11 says, "Who is like thee among the gods, O Lord? Who is like thee, majestic in holiness, awesome in praises, working wonders." And that particular word right there for the word in describing the Lord God Almighty, that he's the holiness of the Lord, is Kadesh. I'm not going to spell it, but it's Kadesh, and it means apartness. It means sacredness. It means to be set apart or set apart. It's sanctuary. Every time you deal with the word holy, you're always dealing with the word sanctuary. And then it goes on and says that which is most holy. I love this definition, and listen to it. He who is holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, he who is holy other. That's quite a description of this God of ours. He who is holy other. You know, and this is why the evil one has sought to rob the church of the holiness of God and chase Christians away from being holy and living holy before the Lord. Because that's where the power is found. That's where the true power is found. You'll never have power in your life without the holiness of the Lord. You know, I want you to come on down and just, if you just into another place right here is verse, I'm going to come on down in verse 43. Now, let's go over here in Exodus. Let's look at that. Exodus 28. Come right over there real quick in Exodus 28 and just speaking about this. You know, in Exodus 28, I want you to look if you would, at verse 36, you shall also make a plate of pure gold. And now this was the designation of the priest. You shall make a plate of pure gold, and you shall engrave on it like the engravings of a seal. Well, what was supposed to be on that gold plate? Holy to the Lord. And then look here. Look where it was supposed to be in verse 37, and you shall fasten it on a blue cord, and it shall be on the turban. It shall be at the front of the turban. Do you get that? You get that picture? Here's that turban. Here's that gold plate. You know, and what does that gold plate says? It says, holy to the Lord. That's the priest. It's going to be coming into the presence of Almighty God. Nothing's changed. It's just that now that priesthood has been given to all that would come into the Lord Jesus Christ to be the priest of Almighty God. But they were selected, and God's been manifested himself all through the centuries, all through time. He's been manifesting himself. He's been gaining power and authority as lost in the garden. Because men's given him that power and that authority and that permission in their lives. You know, all these things from Abraham, for the Abrahamic covenant, to Moses, to the law, and on. It was never to be able to be able to keep it. The word says in Galatians, it's a tutor. The law is a tutor for us to come to Christ. You know, and such an intricate instructions were to really reveal to them just how holy and unapproachable, apart from a sacrifice, that this God is. And that sacrifice was made through the holy righteous blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that we could come into that presence that only a select few could come into, so that we could find him and we could find his presence and we could find that holiness imparted into us. And through it, we would know what it means to be his. In that same place, it goes on down and lists, you know, what they were to wear in the presence. It's all a type and a shadow for them. And it talks about the turban, and it talks about fine linen, and it talks about a sash and all of these things. And it goes on down. What I want you to see is come on and look here. And after they were all dressed up, and they were all ready, and they were dressed in their holy attire. Here's what verse 43 says, and they shall be on Aaron and on his sons when they, look here, enter the tent of meeting. Of when they approach the altar to minister in the holy place, so that they do not incur guilt and die. It shall be a statute forever to him and to his descendants after him. And that statute, it says that this shall be a statute that shall be forever. Well, it hadn't changed. It was fulfilled. The statute was not like, oh, that's not important. We'll mark that out now. Okay. You know, I forget it now. No. God is not that way. It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, that we could come and find in holy attire, clothed in real holiness, not in an outer tunic, but in real holiness, that we could be clothed in the holiness of the Lord in the Lord Jesus Christ so that we could have real true fellowship and communion, and we could really know the real tent of meeting. The real tent of meeting. Oh my goodness. Here's what Leviticus is. Listen, Leviticus 20, verse 26 says, "Thus you are to be holy to me, for I, the Lord," that's Yahweh again, capital L-O-R-D, "am holy," because I am holy. Well, Pastor, what are you talking about here? It's just Old Testament stuff, you know. And we don't have to have that anymore, you know, or anything like that. What in the world is happening? What in the world has happened to Europe? Where are the great men of faith of old? Where's the George Whitfields? Where is the John and Charles Wesley's? Where is, that's England, and I have a real burden for England. But Martin Luther of Germany, Ulrich Zwingli of Switzerland. You know, I've been in his church. I was in his church in Zurich, Switzerland. I've walked the tower. You know, there's 187 steps to the tower of his church. Now, see, he was martyred. And the reason that he was martyred, you know what his message was? You know, Zwingli's message, you know, the majesty of the Lord. The majesty of the Lord. You know, he was martyred for his message, you know. And but the church is still there, Grossmünster Church in the heart of Zurich, Switzerland. What in the world has happened? And I'll tell you just exactly what has happened. What has happened is lukewarm Christianity. That's exactly what's happened. And we need to be aware that we're under attack. You know, without the holiness of the Lord, there's a blindness and there's a spiritual deafness that comes. There's a distraction. You know, that clarity of spirit and heart, you know, that jealousy of God, you know, that spiritual eyes to see, you know, it's a numbness comes, you know, and you know, you don't see the dangers that you're in. You don't see the danger of what's happening around you. Not only is there an invasion in Europe, but there's an invasion in all of Western civilization. Oh, by the way, if you don't know it, that's where you live. You live in Western civilization, okay? It's rooted and founded in Israel. Israel's under attack. Not only is Israel under attack, but Christianity is under attack, right? And also all of Western civilization is under attack. But because of lukewarm Christianity and the deadness of the church of Europe, there's a ho-hum spirit and attitude that doesn't see the dangers. Don't you think that it can't come to America either? Because it certainly can. Did y'all hear? Have y'all heard? And you know, on July the 17th, this year, 2026, the Friday sermon at the Islamic Institute of America in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, a Shiite cleric, I'm quoting, said that Allah took out Lindsey Graham for us. And there was a great celebration of the death of Lindsey Graham. Now, I don't really care what you think of Lindsey Graham from a political standpoint. There's a difference between you having political differences with Lindsey Graham and celebrating his death. Did you know that it went on from there, that prayers were prayed for Allah to take the life of Donald Trump? I don't care what you think of Donald Trump, but whatever you think of him and whatever political differences that you may have, but that you want to see a man die because of it, you better check out your heart. Find out what you're made of, because it ain't pretty. It ain't pretty. Now, the church needs to wake up. Christians need to wake up. Maybe we need to say, I need to wake up. America needs to wake up. But this is what's happened in Europe, is that, oh, ho-hum, you know, you begin to believe the lies of society because you no longer have that holiness of Almighty God, you know, that speaks to the heart. You know, that holiness of the Lord that, you know, keeps that lukewarmness away, that fire that we just talked about. Here's how it's spoken in Hebrews. Listen, Hebrews 10:22 says, "Let us draw near with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." This is spiritual water that he's talking about. Our hearts being sprinkled clean, our bodies, it's not just your heart. It's not just your heart, but it's your body as well, with pure water. You know, that word pure right there is a kehartros, and it means clean or clear, or innocent or pure. This is what happens spiritually by the power of God. This is how the Apostle Paul put it concerning himself. He said this in Galatians 6:14. He says, "But may it never be that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." You know, this is how God keeps his people aware and keeps his people alive, you know, versus just that dead spirit, that worldly spirit. It's the spirit of the world. And this is the dangers of worldliness, and the choices are worldliness or holiness. Are you understanding me, brethren? Are you understanding me? That's what lies before us as believers. Is either holiness or worldliness, one or the other. Holiness or worldliness. And worldliness brings death and destruction. Now, I'm going to close with this, but just so that you hear, you know, in another place here, you know, Leviticus, listen to this, Leviticus 11. In verse 45 says this, it says, "For I am the Lord," Yahweh, capital L-O-R-D, "who brought you up from the land of Egypt to be your God." Now listen, "thus you shall be holy, for I am holy." Well, Pastor, you just keep reading all that Old Testament stuff, and I don't just really see where it has anything to do with me whatsoever. Here is a, did you know that passage I just read to you is quoted word for word in 1 Peter 1:16? Because it is written, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Brought right into the New Testament. Now, I'll close with this, but I want you to hear it because we seem to always know it, but we don't maybe really fully understand what it really is saying to us. And that is in 1 Peter, listen, chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim." And, you know, hold on. Did you hear that? You know, you are a chosen race, you're a royal priesthood and a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. For what reason? That you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, that word, possession, this is the Greek word, is periopoiesis. Peripoiesis, P-E-R-I-O-P-O-I-E, accent on the E-S-I-S. It means to obtain or to possess. It means a possession. It's a possession. Wait a minute. What are you talking about here, Pastor? You're talking about being the possession of Almighty God. You know, don't I just give my heart to Jesus and now I got my salvation. Now, woo, I'm free now, you know? Let me read 1 Corinthians 6, listen, 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Most of the time, we relegate that to healthy living, but it's got a whole lot more than just eating right, okay? It's a lot more to it than eating right. He's purchased you and me. We live for Him. We receive the holiness of the Lord. I said I was closing and I'm in it. You know, I get at least three tries, right? That back to that word right here, possession, peripoiesis, to obtain, to possess, a possession. The root means to keep or to purchase. Okay, it comes of two root words, and those two root words is, first of all, the first root word is peri, P-E-R-I. Well, it means around, it means about, it means upon, and it means in the midst of. Okay, you know that. And then the second root word there is emi, and that is E-I-M-I, emi, and it means to exist. It means that I am. Or to appear. This is God being among His people. This is what we find with the holiness of the Lord. Kathy, y'all come on, okay?